Welcome back to the Wahlbutter Show. Thanks for staying with us. So good to have Dr. Michael Youssef with us. New book, An Unholy Alliance. Perfect timing for what's happening in the culture right now. How progressivism brought about an Islamic invasion. Incredible pastor, culture, anthropologist, best-selling author. It's been a while since we've had you. Dr. Youssef, good to have you back on Wahlbutter, sir. Thanks for your time today.
Great to be with you, Rick. Thank you for having me.
Well, you've obviously warned of the things that we're living through right now in the country. 50 books. You've covered many topics that are now more in the conscience of what Americans are facing. Thank you for being a voice of reason for so many years. Well, tell us a little bit about the book and the timing and what you hope it does for people.
Sure. Actually, my very first book on the subject was in 1982.
Wow.
And I have been warning America and the West of this day for well over 40 plus years. And it breaks my heart that nobody would listen.
Yeah.
And this has been a long time coming. And I have been reading their material, been reading their strategies. I've been reading their plan of taking over the West and bringing what they call the third jihad. That's their word, not mine. And I've warned British leaders 20 years ago what they're doing in Britain, where the no-go zones and where they're building a spine up and down north and south of the country. Then they're going to get the ribs. And once they get that, they'll choke the country. 85 Sharia courts now in England. And it is so sad. And now they're targeting specific areas in America. Paterson, New Jersey now is called Little Palestine. And Dearborn, Michigan, my goodness gracious. And of course, they're targeting Texas, which is really very disconcerting. And and that's why I'm really going to be focusing on Texas. Chris Tomlin and I will be leading a big event in Houston on September 19th called Awake Houston. We're trying to awake America to realize what we are in the fight of our lives, but we have weapons that are far greater than guns and ammunition, and it's a weapon of prayer and proclamation. And so I'm trying to wake the church up to realize that we cannot sit on the sideline. And
yes.
What in the book, what I describe is the alliance. It's really unholy in many ways because you got the leftists and the progressives with the Islamists. Normally, these two groups will basically be at each other's throat. And as I point out through history, for example, in Iran, the revolution against the Shah, it was led by leftists, and they were the voice of the revolution. They were on television night after night from Hassan Benisadr and all, prime minister and the foreign minister. And yet, as soon as the Islamist leader comes from Paris, Ayatollah Khomeini, he basically beheads and kills all the leftists and gets rid of them. And this will happen eventually, sadly, but for the time being.
Why do they not learn from that? Why do they seem to repeat that same unholy alliance? And you probably address this in the book. But
I do, but from one hand, there's a spiritual blindness. They don't really understand. They don't think. They're so blinded with hatred toward Western civilization and Western culture with all of its blessings. And yet, it's like a former deputy prime minister of Australia who was interviewing me, and he said, "You mean they are using our democracy to destroy democracy?" I said, "That's exactly it."
That's it.
And the leftists think in the similar ways. If you think back in 2005 in Gaza Strip, when Israel withdrew from the Gaza Strip and Hamas took over, and they said, "Oh, democracy, 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 one man, one vote." I said, "Yes, watch this. One man, one vote, one time." And sure enough, once they got elected, they destroyed their enemies and they destroyed the whole strip for that matter.
Yeah.
And we're stuck with Hamas terrorism.
Wow. It's a repeating of the playbook, even of Muhammad himself and the way that he convinced groups to team up with him until he could destroy them.
Yep.
I know you're sensing the same thing. I'm sure you are, that there are ears ready to hear finally, and people are willing to listen to this message, unlike 40 years ago when you started. And I'm just so thankful that you've been faithful to continue and to even fine tune and just keep coming back. And a part of what I love about the book is you not only define all these things, you not only go through and give the history and the education on it, you give us action steps. So I want to spend a little bit of time on that. Like, What do you say to people that are going, well, look, we're losing England, we're losing Australia. Now there's so many here, we're not going to be able to stop it. What do you say to them about the action steps we can take?
Well, just think about this. We have 350 million Americans. The Muslims are only 4 million.
Mm.
And the other thing that I must point out to you before I get to the fact that we as the Church of Jesus Christ need to rise up, you know, 4 million people are now trying to dominate 350 million. And the truth is, it is because we have taken our eyes off the ball. But yes, what I'm calling the Church of Jesus Christ particularly, and of course, I call upon the political world to rise up through legislation and stop the Sharia courts from coming in, and the Sharia communities, as they want to build an epic city and all the other cities that they'll be trying to build, where there'll be no total control, where the outside forces, whether it would be military or police, cannot come in. So you have an honor killing and honor beating, and justice cannot be done. So my number one call upon the church is to start literally rising up and be the Church of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In prayer. And I'm talking, this sometimes it's cliche, well, we need to pray. No, I'm talking about absolutely determined, specific prayer. But prayer by itself, it cannot be the only thing, but we need to have proclamation. That is, we need to go into the very territories and preach the gospel and proclaim the gospel, not hide from them, but go into their places and engage the Muslim neighbors. Because the truth is, and this is something a lot of people have disagreement about, not all Muslims are Islamists, but I like to stick with facts. Facts are, there are many Muslims, and I know some of them, heads of states, for example, who are not Islamist, and they don't want these Islamists in their country. So they outlawed in Egypt and in Jordan, in Kuwait and in Bahrain and in United Arab Emirates and even Saudi Arabia. And so what do? When they got kicked out of these countries, they go to the West, and the West and their naivete and the wokeness think, oh, this is a nice thing to do. Just welcome them and tell them to come in, take over. But we need to be praying. We need to proclamation. We have a television station 24/7 in 260 million homes in the Arab world for the last 17 years, Kingdom Sat. And we are seeing thousands upon thousands of Muslims who are coming to Christ. And so there is a precedent that this can turn the tide. We can have an awakening, we can have a revival. But we need to start with our own hearts as believers, if we repent of our own sin, and sin of negligence, and sin of apathy. We need to be proactive, and not we cannot hide in the pews anymore.
Yeah, and one of the items that you list on in that last chapter on saving our civilization is protecting young minds.
Yeah.
You know, that there is a concerted, you know, concentrated effort for sure to convince them that this is, you know, just being nice or whatever. And so what is strategy?
I saw a social media where a man was standing in front of a school where his children were given Qurans and hijab. But when they started distributing, they said, no, you can't distribute Bibles.
Yeah.
Well, you know, how are we going to protect the children? How to protect their minds? In England, they're forcing conversion on children and having do Islamic prayers in the classrooms. Where is the ACLU? I mean,
right, right.
And the separation of church and state, or separation of religion, of Islam from the state. The separation of powers is a concept that is so unique to America, and it is not to the Muslims. There's no separation between the law, the leader, or the caliphate, and the people. They all go together. And so that it's totally contrary to the Constitution and to the very core of American values. And therefore, it needs to be fought diligently in the courts and in the legislators and in the school boards, which they have, some of them have taken over.
And that's the thing, is that we can do as you pointed out, we greatly outnumber them. We can do the same thing. We can go take those school boards. In fact, I'm going to be getting involved in my old high school that I used to go to, where they have now done exactly what you're talking about, handing out the hijabs and everything else. And there's some young kids that are standing up, and we're going to try to reverse that school board. But it's going to take action. And you mentioned that in the book as well, holding government accountable, not just letting these you know, these runaway liberals who are foolishly, you know, signing their own death warrant. I mean, they're just going to destroy their own movement, because as soon as the Muslims are in charge, they're going to either outlaw everything that those people are for, or, you know, could be actual jihad. So the time is now. I mean, there's a critical mass happening. And if we don't stop it now, it's going to get harder, right?
Yeah. And even with the leftists, and we need to tell them that they will be the first ones who are going to be beheaded by the sword, because at least within the Sharia, which is really, people say Sharia law, but the Sharia is the law, Islamic law. Within the Sharia, they say, if a Christian or a Muslim wants to live in a Muslim country, they can pay jizya, or a form of punitive taxation, but not the non-believers. So the ones whom they call the people of the book, Jews and Christians. So these leftists they'll be the first one to go, literally, because they have no standing within the Sharia. And so even to wake up the non-believers to the realities, to understand the truth and not be so blinded, as so many of young students in universities have been literally like sheep taken to the slaughter.
Yeah, yeah. Last thing, one of the things you teach in the book, but that maybe we can cover in just a few minutes, what is the difference between a Mecca Muslim and a Medina Muslim?
Well, this is the thing that's very, very important. When I just said a few minutes ago that not all Muslims are Islamists. When Muhammad started his work, he basically was in Mecca and was persecuted by his own tribe of Quraysh because they were polytheistic. They're worshiping many gods. And he said, I'm only bringing you the truth about what the Bible said, what Moses and Jesus said. There's only one God. Worship one God. And thus he in a very reconciliatory mode, and you see that in the Quran, talks about the people of the book, and if you have in doubt, you go and ask them and so forth. But then when he really was kicked out of Mecca and goes to Medina, it was called Yathrib, later on changed to Medina, and he becomes strong and has an army, then he's changed his mind. He became powerful, and he said, well, I'm not only asking you to follow Moses and Jesus, you follow me because I am the third and the final revelation of Allah. And so he garnered an army and came and fought the Meccans. And then all of a sudden, the infidels to be killed and killed, jihad, and all these things start supposedly coming from Allah. And you ask them, you say, wait a minute, has Allah changed his mind from the days of Mecca to the days of Medina? They come up with this concocted theology called Nasik wa Mansuk, which really means is that what came later abrogated what came early, that God basically changed his mind. And what he said later on during Muhammad's life was more important, and therefore it canceled all the early revelations.
And so you point out that, you know, sure, there are billions of Mecca phase Muslims, but there are, you know, over 400 million radical Islamists that are in the Medina phase.
Yep. And wow. I have some Muslim friends in the Middle East. Some of them are really high up in governments. We're really leaders. One leader leaned on me back in 2017, was sitting down, and he leaned over and he said, Dr. Youssef, can you explain to me, when we make the Muslim Brotherhood illegal and we kick them out of the country, and then they go to England and not only receive a welcome mat, but they are given satellite channels from which they fight us and attack us? And I said, I'm sorry, I have no answer to that other than foolishness,
and
suicidal wish.
Yes, it's Proverbs 27:12. The wise person foresees danger and takes precaution. The simpleton or the fool walks blindly on and suffers the consequences. And that's what we're doing in those areas, being fools. Dr. Youssef, I kept you longer than we said we would. Thank you so much.
That's right. Absolutely.
Listen, folks, the book is available. An Unholy Alliance, the book, you can get it everywhere, Amazon, bookstores. But one more time, Dr. Youssef, you're going to be in Houston, you said, in September for Awake Houston with Chris
Tomlin.
Yeah, at
Smart Financial Center, we're having Chris Tomlin will be leading worship for the first 50 minutes or so, and then I'll be speaking about waking up to all of these things.
And is the best way to find out about the Houston event and other places you're going to be, michaelyoussef.com? Just go to the website there?
LTW.org, leading the way.
Okay.
Or awakeamerica.com. And because we've been having these Awake America events, we had one in Boston and one in D.C. And of course, we're coming in Houston on the 19th of September. And then we'll be in other arenas in 2027 in Dallas and elsewhere.
Excellent. Excellent. AwakeAmerica.com and then LTW.org. Dr. Michael Youssef, so good to have you back, sir. Look forward to having you again.
Pleasure. Thank you, Rick.
You bet. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back with David and Tim Barton.